That's a sign that somebody didn't want me to read from the Bible this morning. You know, we're going through some pretty trying times, and there's a lot of things going on all around us. And we sit back and we wonder, why is God letting this happen? And we could go on and on and on, but I don't think there's a soul in this room that hadn't lost somebody or lost a loved one, and at some point in our lives, we asked, God, why me? Why did you let this happen? How can you let somebody that you claim to love die from cancer or die in a car wreck or whatever the case may be? But the one thing we have to remember through all of it is, it's not our plan, is it? It's God's plan. And we're going to experience trials and temptations. You know, as Lynn Anderson's song from long ago, I never promised you a rose garden. You know, and that's true. You know, God told us from the very beginning, we're going to face trials and temptations when we serve Him. We're going to face persecution. We may not experience the persecution that people over in Israel or the Christians overseas in the Middle East experience, but we're experiencing some persecution here in the United States. Take a look around us. We've lost prayer in school. We lost Bibles in school. We lost Pledge of Allegiance. You know, we got the LGBTQT or whatever their acronym is. You know, it's all around us. I mean, they're attacking us from all different sides. So why am I bringing up all this? And it's simply because through it all, no matter what's thrown our direction, no matter what we have to face, we need to keep our eyes on God. You know, some people will say we're living in the end times, and that may be. But you remember, one day is as 1,000 years, or 1,000 years as one day. We don't know when that day is going to happen. And I've heard people over the last couple of weeks, especially this last week when Hamas attacked Israel, and we know that Iran and Syria and all them are identified in the Bible as enemies of the state of Israel. We were told that the second coming of Christ was not going to happen until God's people were reassembled. Well, back in late, 1948 or something, is when Israel was finally recognized again as a country, as a state. So that could be the beginning of the end, so to speak. You know, if you want to call it that, me, I look at the beginning of the beginning. You know, I look forward to that day. I don't want to leave my wife, don't get me wrong. I don't want to leave her all the problems we got, but I'm going to tell you, I look forward to the day that Jesus calls me home. You know, I'm tired of all the garbage that's going on around us. But through it all, again, until that day happens, we got to keep faith that God has a plan. No matter what it is, He's going to carry us through it. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, and this is something that we've studied at length through Grace Walk, but I want to kind of cover it to reiterate our need to maintain faith in God no matter what the trials or tribulations are. It's found in Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I am. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the word of the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. My father, and he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And here's where we see where Abraham was blessed. Simply because he had faith and trust and followed what God was demanding that he do. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. So there's blessings in all of God's blessings in all of our trials. So I ask you, have you ever felt it? Or do we get down on ourselves and say, why me? Do we have a pity party? Or do we actually fully trust? Yes, we're going to feel the emotions, you know, that we have as human beings. You know, we're going to feel that. But down deep, do we blame God for what's happening in our lives? Or do we actually really trust that he has a plan for it? I think all of us have at one point in time felt God's blessings on our lives. You know, he's brought us through some pretty tumultuous times. Because whether we plead for a cure for an illness, or for having a beautiful and happy family, or hope that we can have a prosperous career, have children and grandchildren and so forth, I think we've all been blessed. God answers many times. But it's not always the answer that we want to hear, is it? But he knows best. But do God's blessings begin and end right here? Do you know what the greater blessings God bestows on men are? Let's look at some of the answers. We know the story of Moses and how he slew an individual and he couldn't go into Promised Land. He was set out there wandering for 40 years and he couldn't go into Promised Land, right? Why? Because he disobeyed God. He slew a man. He raised his fist in anger. But through it all, God did bless Moses and allowed him to lead the chosen people to the Promised Land. God's word through all of this says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction." We find that in Isaiah 48:10. From this, we can see that the hardship and refinement are the special blessings bestowed by God. In the text we just read, Abraham gained God's blessings due to his offering up of Isaac. When Abraham was 100, God blessed him with the son, and it was his only son. So he treated him like he was a precious treasure. However, one day God said to Abraham, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you of." So how did Abraham treat this? Did he sit back and say, "Why me, Lord?" Nope. He had faith in God, that God had a plan, and whatever God told him to do, that's what he was going to do, even if it meant sacrificing his own son. And because of his faith and his commitment and his obedience to God, what did God tell him? He said he's going to multiply a seed, that it was going to be the foundation for everything else to come in the world. I mean, he blessed him beyond all measure. Did he actually have him sacrifice his son? No. But Abraham demonstrated his faith and his commitment to God, that even though he was going through a big trial, I mean, you know, I ask you, because I can tell you right now, it would be real hard for me to give up one of my kids. You know, I know I got a lot of faith in God, don't get me wrong, but I don't care. It would still be tough of us as a parent to give up our kid. Can you imagine what Abraham was going through? Why? Why, Lord, you just blessed me with my only son, my only offspring. Why are you having me give it up? He didn't question it. What did he do? Got his other siblings or whoever they were. They went up, they gathered wood, they went up, they followed, they did exactly what God was requiring them to do. And at the last minute, God said, "No, you've demonstrated your faith and your trust in me. You've done what I've told you to do, what I've asked you to do, and I'm going to bless you." So he received God's blessings. "That in the blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars in heaven and the sand which is on the seashore." Because of Abraham's faith and obedience, he stood testimony for God in a bitter trial and thus gains God's greater blessings. He would become the father of many nations, and his descendants would be numerous, which is inseparable from God's trial of him at that time. Then we find another individual that was tempted, went through trials. Anybody got a guess who that was? We studied him at length before. How about Job? Absolutely. Job stood witness during his trials, so God blessed him doubly. When Job was faced with attacks and temptations of Satan, although all his property and his children were taken away, he didn't blame God at all. Instead, he rent his mantle. He fell on the ground saying, "Jehovah gave and Jehovah has taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah." We find that in Job 1:21. When Satan used his wife to attack him, he still maintained his genuine faith in God, saying, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" His words shamed Satan and made it turn back. In the end, he stood witness for God. He received God's blessings again. His wealth was doubled, his life expectancy was extended twofold, and he had the most beautiful children in the surrounding cities, so he became a real free man, received God's praise, and lived a meaningful life. So through all of this, what should we learn when we face those trials? What can we learn from the story of Job? What was Job's attitude when God's trials befell him? Why did God turned Job over to Satan and says, here, tempt him. I believe his commitment to me is greater than any temptation you could throw his way. So what happened? You know, if I were Job, in today's time, I'd be saying, whoa, Lord, why did you do this to me? You know, why are you, told me you would never tempt us beyond what we could handle, but this is too much. I got bulls, I've lost my wife, I've lost my kids, I've lost my property. I'm on the street, I have nothing. But you know what? I still believe that through it all, even if all that happened to me or my family, I still believe God has a plan. He has a plan. Is it a temptation of faith to see how much we trust him? I don't think so. I think it's to strengthen our trust and our dependence on him, that he will get us through this. That's the whole gambit of going through trials and temptations. If we approach it as a pity party, we're not going to get anything out of it. But if we approach it from, okay, chalk going up for the bad guys, now what have I learned? What am I going to get out of this? What positive thing can I get out of this? And the bottom line is, through this, with Job and Abraham, is God's in charge. God's in control. He's got a plan. And through it all, no matter what the trials are, we got to trust in God. We all know about Job's trials from the Bible. It records that after Satan's first temptation, all of his livestock was taken away by robbers, his servants were killed, and his children were all crushed to death under the collapsing house. When Job heard the news, though he did not understand God's will, he never sinned with his lips, and he didn't complain against God. Rather, he behaved with rationality and bent over in worship, saying, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Jehovah gave, and Jehovah has taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. During Satan's first temptation, though Job had stood firm in his testimony, Satan little believed his uprightness, nor did it believe that his holding fast to the way of revering God and shunning evil was true and done from his heart. He thought it was a facade. He thought it was just going through the motions. He didn't believe that Job was that committed to God. So then Satan tempted Job again. After that, he had sore boils. Can you imagine that? Having boils all over your body. And used a pot's herd to scrape himself, sitting among the ashes. Despite this, when his wife advised him to abandon God, he reprimanded her by saying, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? All these are a few short phrases that demonstrated Job's attitude when he faced the two trials. We can see from his words that he was willing to endure suffering, and he submitted to God's orchestration of the events that were taking place. And through it all, he established a closer, more committed relationship with God, and God blessed him for standing his ground and maintaining his commitment and obedience. God permitted Satan to tempt Job and also used this to try him, in which there is actually a great significance. God says, in God's eyes, although Job was still the same Job as before, Job's faith, his obedience, and fear of God had brought God complete satisfaction and enjoyment. At this time, Job had attained the perfection that God had expected of him, much to Satan's chagrin, and Job was tremendously blessed. It can be seen that God tried Job in order that he could use his actual conduct to bear testimony before Satan and the people of the world. Indeed, through the examination of the facts, Job's uprightness was proven, and also God's evaluation of him was proven 100% accurate. So when Satan tempted Job, on the surface it appeared that all his livestock was stolen away by his robbers and his children killed by a collapsing house, that it was covered in sore boils head to toe. But in the spiritual realm, it was actually Satan stretching out his hand to Job and abusing him. And even more, Satan and God were having a bet. However, afterward, seeing Job had never forsaken God's name during his trials, and finding himself without schemes to carry out, Satan fled in panic and would no longer dare to tempt him. At this point, I can't help but thinking that each of us often comes across Satan's temptations. I think we face that each and every day. We just open our eyes and look around us. So, for example, when we're living a quiet life, suddenly something unfortunate comes upon us, or we ourselves or our family fall ill all of a sudden. Faced with these situations, we'll pray, but we fail to obtain God's response. Then our faith may ebb away, and we may even complain against God. So again, I ask you, through all the trials and all the issues that we've faced through our life, and we've all had losses in our life, I don't think there's anybody in here that hadn't, have we ever blamed God for it? Have we ever asked, why me, Lord? Why did you let this happen? I'll tell you one thing I question, and yeah, it's wrong, I admit it. I'll stand here in front of you and admit it. I see a lot of people here in church every Sunday. I know they're dedicated Christians. And yet I see a lot of people out there that never go to church, that don't believe in God, and yet they have all the wealth in the world. Looks like they got everything going for them. Why do they have this, and yet God's people are still having to struggle from one payday to the next payday, so to speak? Have you ever asked that? I have. I ain't gonna lie. But I haven't pursued that from the standpoint of blaming God. I'm thankful for what God has given me. Do I have everything I want? Nope. But I got everything I need. If I didn't, I believe God's going to provide it. Okay? So I bring it back to one of the things that I brought up to one of my grandkids that I saw in a Big Lots store when I was with Judy in there. And this is several years ago. And this little old lady, I'm not discriminating against anybody, so don't get me wrong. But this little old lady was in there with her grandkid. And her grandkid says, I need this. I need this. I was just grabbing stuff off the impulse items right there by the checkout stand. And that's why they put it there by the checkout stand, for an impulse item, you know. And of course it's sweets or candy or, you know, toys or something like that. And the thing that stuck out to me on that was, this lady looked at that kid, and I don't remember, she called him by name, and I don't remember, but asked this little kid, now child, is that a want or is that a need? Stop and think about it. Is it a want or a need? As we go through life, and God blesses us or throws things our way, or we see something out there, do we stop and take the time? I'm guilty of not doing it. Do we stop and take the time and say, God, is that something you want me to have? Or is that just something I want? Is that something I need? Or is it something I just want? I'm guilty of it. I admit it. You know, I'm human. We all are. And I think if we all stop and think about it, at some point in our time, in our lives, we've taken for granted some of the things that God's given us. We take for granted our health. I don't, because I know from having worked in safety for 35 years, I know things can change in a heartbeat real quick. Somebody can lose a finger or lose a toe or fall off some scaffolding or somewhere and knock a hole in their noggin. I know they can die almost instantaneously. I know that. That saying, I can't control what happened, do anything about what happened yesterday. I can't control what's going to happen tomorrow, but I do have some control over what's going to happen today. And that control that I have over today is trusting God that no matter what he throws my way, he's going to lead me through it. And I have unwavering faith that no matter what happens out there, God's going to take us through it. We see all the events taking place over in Israel. Is it a sign of the second coming? I think it's laying the groundwork for it. There's biblical support, scripture to support that thought process. Is it going to happen in our lifetime? I have no idea, because just like the Bible says, only the Father knows the date and the time and the place. So we hear a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of people, oh man, you know, the end times here, you know, get ready, it's fixing to happen. Ain't no guarantee on that. It can happen in our lifetime, it may happen in our kids' lifetime, it may happen in our great-grandkids' lifetime. We don't know. And then again, could happen today. Bring it on. I'm ready. But through the trials and issues that are going on over with God's chosen people in Israel, we need to stay focused. Because as the scripture that Brother Dwayne mentioned last week and the week before, when we start seeing the signs, what are we supposed to do? Look up. So no matter what's taking place around us, no matter what trials, what temptations we have that we think, poor me, let's get off the pity party and realize God's got a plan for it. He's got a handle on it. We don't have to worry about it. All we got to do is trust him that he's going to take care of it the way he sees fit. And there ain't a thing we can do about it except hang on for the ride and trust that God is in control. No matter how bad things may seem here on earth, God is in control. Would everybody agree with me with that? I think so. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity and privilege to be in your house today, Lord. Lord, we know there's a lot of things going on in the world around us that can have us question our faith and our trust in you, Lord. But Lord, we know that no matter what's happening, you are in control. You've got a plan. Help us to have faith and confidence, Lord, and put our complete trust in you that you will take care of us no matter when the end times may come, Lord. We place our soul, our minds, and our hearts in your hands. Be with us as we go through the services today, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. We ask these things in thy blessed name. Amen.